This is you always stirring the pot, Dipper, just stirring it up.
Okay, okay. Well, at least I'm not two-faced. You know what I mean? I say what I say and I do what I do.
Listen, all I'm going to say is the glasses that you're wearing are $2 a yard. And what I'm wearing, Mama, is expensive.
Oh, so you don't wouldn't even know expensive if it slapped you in the face, okay?
Well, now I'm holding my middle fingers up at you.
And
so
I'm holding mine up. So good night.
Oh,
good night.
Good night.
We're the same. We're the same.
We're the same.
If you want more of that. If you want a lot more of that, watch this week's episode of Dragula. We have a great recap today on our Spooky Seconds.
Spooky Seconds.
With the season one Dragula winner, Vander Von Ott. All we're going to do forever now on this show is just talk over each other.
Love that for us.
So tune in for your ghost ship glamour, which, as we come to find out, didn't really happen.
Not a lot of ghost ships.
Not a lot of ghost ships. We have a great time, so boobity boo.
Bye. Or hello, because it's about to start.
Oh, yes. Hello.
Forever. Dog.
When first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us.
Hello and welcome to Spooky Seconds. And this week we got a lot to talk about, so we're jumping right in because this episode was crazy. I thought last week's was nuts, but this one's crazy, and we have an incredible guest, our season one Dragula winner.
That's
it is
right,
Vander Von Ott.
Yeah.
Hello.
Are you feeling spooky today?
Spooker. I'm feeling. Oh my god. I mean, how fitting is it that I think the least conflictive person was assigned the most conflictive episode to date on this fucking podcast?
I'm like, you're the blueprint for the Dragula winner, but you have no beef with anyone, and all you do is stick to your lane and do your art.
Exactly. I was watching the episode, and I had meant to take notes. Like, I had a clipboard with me and paper. And
then the episode,
the credits rolled, and I looked down, and my paper was just blank. Like, I completely forgot to write anything.
Drama.
I was enthralled in this drama this week. And I mean, like I said, I thought last week was going to be the height of drama. But then yesterday, right before it aired, the Boulets started posting a bunch of memes of, like, getting ready for war and, like, all this stuff. And I was like, oh, it's going to be bad. And it really did take until the last 15 minutes for shit to happen.
Yeah, but
you know what?
It was enjoyable, right?
It was enjoyable, and I kind of loved the way they framed it with Dolly giving, like, the Spark Notes version, and then rewinding and being like, here's how it all started. It was giving early 2000s, like, movie narrator fantasy.
I was kind of like, and here's how I wound up here.
But
I do just want to say one thing, and I said it to Dipper before you got on, but I was like, I wish the little skit and scat at the beginning of it was, like, a little bit short. I wanted more of them fighting this week because it was so chaotic and everyone was saying so much stuff. I wanted to, like, see Hoso have a full I wanted her to have her Zavaleta moment.
Right.
And, like, really have a meltdown. Yeah. But I thought it was very funny watching her catch herself and be like, no, that's mean. I'm not going to do that.
I won't be, like, bitch, like, that would be me. That would be me on stage. She's like, nope, I won't do it. I'm not going to do it.
Well,
but the dress was ugly.
Not to be Dolly about it, but let's rewind a bit and get to how we got here. So last week we saw the Monsters of Rock challenge, which, as we just alluded to, so much drama with Sigourney and Mary set us up for this week. The whole band, which was called Glam Rot, was up for the extermination challenge, which was electrocution. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, Mary did not make it out alive. She then got murdered by some stripper thighs. And this week's episode starts with, like, a suicide attempt on the beach, and then the guy, because it was like the guy's depressed and he goes to the beach, right?
I don't know if it was. I thought it was they were trying to be, again, the Boulets, are they vampires? Are they sirens of the sea? We'll never know. But I don't
know.
They're
all of the above. D, all of the above.
I thought it was like a siren song. I thought it was like maybe old lore of like, you know, like mermaids call you to the ocean. So he was like, maybe he was depressed or something and got the call to the ocean. And then they dragged him in.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was getting from it. It was just like old lore, like urban legend type of thing, like about this shell.
And then the film melts, you know, on the projector. Has that ever happened to you in real life in a movie theater? That happened to me once.
Really? Lord of the Rings, on Christmas Day, it happened to me in Texas.
Oh, my God.
And it's what did they do? Really did they give you your money back?
Yes. Well, they were like, give us 30 minutes and we'll give everyone free popcorn. And then they just got another roll of film.
It's a really surreal experience to be watching a movie and then literally the film melts on the projector.
There was a lot of filters. So then they walk back into the boudoir and it's Team Zenith comes in and they won and they're there and they're seeing a lovely Fangoria spread.
Product There's placement, magazines, honey.
Cups, everything. And they just start chit-chatting about who they think went home.
Wait, but what is Fangoria?
Oh, Fangoria is like an iconic horror magazine that's been around since, I know, through the 90s, probably since the 80s.
Oh, amazing.
And it was like the horror magazine. So yeah, it's unfortunately not as popular as it used to be, simply because people don't read like printed material as much as they do.
Yeah, right.
But it carries that really sort of like legendary status because it was the magazine.
And is it like...
The Boulets have been on the cover of it more than once, I think. Oh, she's drinking a LaCroix.
All right.
She knows the drill. The Boulets have been on the cover of it more than once, and they do a lot of stuff with them. Also, the guy's Australian or something, and he says that he pronounces it differently. He was like Fangoria.
Oh, wait, what? Really?
Like the lead guy, when he was like, yeah, we all call it Fangoria, but he was like Fangoria. He said it differently.
On this episode?
Yes, when they were like had a Fangoria, and he was like, "Yeah, the Fangoria family loves the Boulet brothers. We love watching the show." He said it weird. It was enough for me to notice.
You're being crazy. You're being crazy.
I had too much dad breath.
Okay, so Saint, of course, is talking about finally has that moment of like, I won resurrection and I want people to know it, but in a very Saint way. It's I won resurrection and I want people to know it. I'm working hard. I feel like Saint is so delicate, right?
She's a little delicate little angel. She a little delicate angel and a fucking pair of Betty fucking biscuits. I didn't notice that her shoes have been the exact same pair of biscuit heels the entire time.
Are those biscuit heels?
Shade. No shade. I do love Saint. I've noticed those heels even before the show.
And what's the reason?
Okay, she's going to kill me when she listens to this.
Okay, but if she wants a low heel, she probably doesn't. If she wants a low heel, which I think is very fashionable, like a pump, do you think she should aim for something with a smaller heel? Like a 45 millimeter heel or something like that? Like,
it's tricky because you know what it is? I think it's because they're almost like, it is kind of like a pump, but something about, you would think that a thinner heel would make the shoe look taller, but something about a thin heel on a short shoe can look kind of strange. And then sometimes a short heel that's really chunky can actually look taller. I don't really know how that works, but in my mind, that's how like my brain processes like those heels when I look at them.
It's like a magic eye book.
So like for me, it was giving a little bit like almost like ballroom shoes, where it's almost like it's a little squatty. But like also, I don't really care that much about a Kyle. It was kind of giving character heel.
It was giving character heel theater.
But what also Saint never also really said, cared much she was for like,
short heels. Like, it doesn't bother me.
She was also like, if you're expecting something different, don't. So it makes me think like that's the shoe that fits her foot, and that's about it. That's all you're getting.
And then I was thinking about it, and I was talking to Michael about it, and I was like, maybe, like, at that current moment, it's too late to buy a bunch of shoes. Like, you're in filming. You're already there. You have what you have.
Right.
Yeah. Another thing, I think, and maybe not Saint's case, but I know, like, when I hear a lot of people, like, shade a queen for wearing short heels, I'm like, you know, some people just physically can't wear higher mm-hmm. heels. That's like a thing. Some people have mobility issues and stuff like that. So yeah.
Right.
Well, you know me, I can't wear a short heel. I physically can't. I think they're so uncomfortable and they strain my calves.
Oh, because it's just a little bit? You need to be cranked. Because
it's just a little lift. I need to be like up on my toes.
No, you need that shoe that ugly-ass
bordello.
Is the Skecher shape up, but in the front, okay. The one that rolls.
Yeah, just you're talking yesterday. About my good bordellos, you bitch.
That I crunched my foot into.
What happened yesterday? Amanda Bang was at Disneyland and she took a video of Clarabelle and I messaged her, you know, Clarabelle the cow, and I messaged her and I was like, bitch, every time I see Clarabelle in those red shoes, I think of meatballs like bordellos because they have that thick toe box at the front.
It's not only is it thick, but it's rounded, which yeah. It doesn't need to be.
Oh my God. Okay. Not when you see a picture of a cow, you think of meatball.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, she's a beautiful girl.
She's now, a beautiful
girl. Beautiful dolls.
Let's talk Jade about who comes back
walking in and she uh-huh. says a great line that is, "I'm back, rolls."
She did you hear that? She did.
No, she absolutely did.
She said that. You weren't watching. I was listening to every word. And she comes in and she says that she is shocked. She shocked Betty. Every single time. So now we're answering the question of who got shocked, which was my main question last week. Then Betty mm-hmm. comes in and she says that she made it very clear that Jade and her still have some beef.
Mm-hmm.
And they do. But what do you think that stems from? Like, they kept arguing, but there was no explanation of an argument.
Right. I mean, they showed them, like, being friends the first couple episodes and challenges, and then them, like, showing their true colors and then not being friends. I think it ultimately comes down to the conversation we had last week. Like, sometimes certain people are just not for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think casting nailed it this season, and they put together a bunch of people with incredibly conflicting personalities. Like, yep. There was no... It was like they took 10 different puzzles and got a piece from each puzzle and put them in a room and tried to put the puzzle together, but it does not work.
And then, Hoso starts talking about, like, there's no way Mary's coming back. And Zavaleta and Betty are both kind of like, I'd love for Mary to come back and Sigourney not come back. Which, I know that people love Mary Cherry. I love Mary Cherry. We just had Mary on the show. But I think looking at the track record, you think they mm-hmm. really thought Mary was going to come back in the room?
Well, I don't think it was a matter of what they thought. I think it's a matter of what they wanted.
Okay, work. Mm. Got you. Well, they didn't get what they wanted because Sigourney came back into the room. And Sigourney even said that she never zapped Mary in the extermination because she didn't want to leave that type of like a cunty impression. She was like, I'm going to rise above it. I'm not even going to zap her.
Wait, so who did she end up zapping the whole
girl,
time?
She didn't say, but she clearly say, said, I didn't zap Mary.
Oh, I wonder if she never said it.
I don't think any of them zapped
did
Mary.
Oh, but Mary looked like she was definitely getting zapped.
So once the three monsters come back, it just the beef starts again, and Betty places herself right next to Jade so they can just fight.
Uh-huh. And they're going.
About what? What are they fighting?
I don't know. This is one of those situations where I'm like, something else must have happened at the house that they're all staying in, and we're not getting the full story.
Well, Jade because says then Betty's like, a booze hound.
Yes. Oh, they come for her drinking at the house.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So then Betty says, it's time for Petty Betty. And then she got a new Chiron with the name Petty Betty.
Los Angeles.
Petty Betty from Los Angeles.
Oh, my God.
What do you think
know.
About this idea of, well, I'm a blunt person and I keep it real. And that means you just get to be like mean to people. What do you think about that?
I'm conflicted with Betty oftentimes because I have a friendship with her prior to the show. And so mm-hmm. a lot of the Betty I'm seeing on the show is not the Betty that I know personally. As far as that goes, as far as your question, like, I feel like a lot of people definitely use that as an excuse to be nasty sometimes. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's doing that all the time, although I will say I do think she's been a little bit nasty here and there. I literally sat up last night just thinking about this episode because, and I mentioned to Meatball, we were like DMing last night, as two people that were on the same season, there's so much that happens behind the scenes that doesn't make it into the episode. So, like, we don't know what else there is to the story. We were
especially
just saying, like,
them
on
living
our season,
in a house.
Especially them living in a house, which hopefully for future seasons, the budget can allot, which is true. You know, housing people in a hotel by themselves is very expensive.
A month or two like this is going to be crazy expensive.
Crazy expensive, but like hopefully the show can build itself up to get to that place because I think it would be a lot more, like the storylines would be clear for the audience if there aren't like storylines developing outside of the set, you know, which I think maybe what's happening.
Already there's in like every episode there's been a moment where someone's been like, well, we'll talk about it when we get back at the house, or they're like, we talked about our dead moms together but it was back at the house, so we're missing out on so much of like the real moments between them,
right? And you don't see that on a show like Drag Race because they're so strictly you don't see that on other shows because they're so strictly sequestered that they're not allowed to talk to people unless they're in front of cameras.
And so strictly manipulated, they don't even need you. They just got those storylines pre-written they even show up.
Yeah, mama,
set.
That's all pre-written.
Well, listen, let's take a little break and then we'll be right.
Ooh, girl. We'll be right back after this break. Ooh, girl. This episode is brought to you by Helix.
That's right, baby. We love Helix mattresses. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
And how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Just take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
Yeah, I took the quiz and I was matched with the big and tall sleeper. It got delivered in a box. We unwrapped the box and threw it on the bed, and it's sort of like you give it a little time to settle, and I love sleeping on my mattress. It is something I look forward to coming home to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've both been traveling so much lately, and for me, I just love coming home to sleep on my Helix mattress. Nothing is as comfortable.
They've got models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions.
Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge.
And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. And that's why they offer a 100-night sleep trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Helix is offering up to 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
Go to helixsleep.com/sloppy and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now.
HelixSleep.com/sloppy and use code HelixPartner20.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. You've never seen a mother and son duo like this before. This show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Okay. Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets, and you won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app. Okay, we are
back. And we're back.
We're back.
We are spookily back.
We're spooky.
And the video message.
Ooh, girl. They get a video message. And it says, welcome back, cunty cadavers. Ghost Ship of Glamour Challenge is ready to go, mamas. Now, I don't want to talk production again. so I won't.
Okay.
They have to challenge a unique look based on a glamorous ghost ship theme, glamorous cruise liner lost at sea, glamour in abundance. They just keep saying glamour.
Glamour.
The big one even spells it out, and I had to rewind it and make sure she spelled it correctly. So I had to sing the Fergie song in my head.
Bitch. So I take it we're going into the fashions. Is that what we're going into?
Because
I
have what they want.
A lot to say.
Well,
okay.
Based on the prompt from the video message, okay, and also in the prompt, they need to choreograph and perform. See, they also said choreograph, but I think they just meant plan your own performance.
Yeah, they
lip sync to their song Wicked Love, right?
Yes.
So the challenge is twofold. It's your glamorous look and your performance. Mm-hmm. To me, this was a very straightforward assignment. Glamour.
Yeah. Glamour girls.
Right?
I was thinking ghost ship. I was thinking like Titanic, but glamour. You know what I mean? It's gotta be.
I just rewatched Titanic.
Did you watch Ghost Ship? Because there's two of them. There's one with Fergie who sings a song where she spells out glamour, which I think is the reference.
Wait. Are you talking about the Fergie song where she goes G-L-L-A-M?
Yeah.
What do you mean? That's in the film Ghost Ship?
No, but Fergie sings that song, and then she's also in a movie called Ghost Ship, where the ship sinks, and they're all ghosts, and she's the lounge singer. Okay,
I didn't know that. Vander, did you know that?
It's a remake of an old movie.
Are you talking about Ghost Ship, the horror film, the Dark Castle film?
Girl, I don't know what I'm talking about. I just know that these things exist.
Okay.
Was it a scary movie?
Is Fergie in Ghost Ship?
As far as I know, the scary movie, if that is Fergie, I had no idea it was her as the French lounge singer. Maybe it is her and I just never clocked it.
This is a film from 2006.
Yes, it's a remake. There's an original Ghost Ship with like a French woman who's a lounge singer, and then they remade it and Fergie is the lounge singer, and it was bad. Anyway.
Whoa.
I mean, we're so far off. So they go back
all
to the
all we do
boudoir.
Is Google things on this one. $20 million budget!
Okay. So we go back to the boudoir, and the girls have to do a fright feat, and this week it's to find a key of life or death hidden in the boudoir. Now, this key will allow the person who finds it to either save themselves or put someone else up for elimination, which this is the first time they've done anything like this? Did we ever get immunities on ours?
No. Oh, we didn't get it on ours, but we did have the same key on season 3, which Dahlia Black found, which put Madeline Hatter in the extermination. Yeah.
Now, can you explain the rules? Because I was a little lost, like Mary was last week, about is it lead singer or team leader? Is this you save yourself and you get to throw someone under the bus, or it's either or?
Either or. Yeah.
So, but I thought it would have been cuntier for them to say, the minute you find it, you have to pick, do you want to be safe or send someone home? Not at the end of the runway, once you're able to look at your look and everyone else's.
But it's more strategic to be able to look at everyone else's. Because girl, imagine had she looked at Dolly and said, she's up. She's up for extermination. Imagine if she looked at Sigourney, like, you choose one of the top bitches.
She really went, I don't know why I would have picked a top bitch. I would have picked,
well, because you're messy.
Sigourney. Well, because I mean, no offense, but like, she, if I were in her shoes, I would have looked at myself, I would have looked at Bitter Betty, and I would have been like, we're fine, these girls are selling it, like, these girls have gotten incredible reviews, like, we got to set one of them up, we're here to win.
Maybe, but that's tricky, because some of the exterminations, like, are not that intense to where, like, you can set someone up, but like, there's no way they're gonna go home. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like this week's extermination. We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
This week's extermination was the one that sent me home on our season.
Yeah, but this wasn't an extermination. Yeah. It was a fucking photo shoot. All right, we'll get there. Okay, the key. We talked about the key. Can we talk about this, Vander? I want to know your opinion about this next segment.
Uh-huh.
Jade has the key and then decides to steer the conversation and say, well, I love ghosts. And actually, I'm a median. So hold on one second. And leaves and comes back with candles to perform a staged seance where she like kind of reads people. Like, why did Jade get this moment?
I don't know, but I actually kind of liked it because it was goofy and dumb and very, very clearly not meant to be taken seriously. So I was actually kind of living for the show, kind of laughing at itself a little bit, and the contestants laughing at themselves a little bit. It was cute. And then Betty's read, maybe if she was better at reading bitches, this would have been a little bit funnier.
What was the read again?
Oh, there was like one about the biscuits. Saints biscuits was one of the reads.
Yeah,
they weren't terrible reads.
They weren't terrible reads. And then Zava and Dali were talking about fisting.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of me
talking
was
about
like
her OnlyFans, and then Michael was like, shh, Dali has an OnlyFans, and I was like, absolutely.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
I will show it to you.
Because part of me wanted each of the monsters to get their moment to like run the seance and kind of drag the other people, because then it could have been this like master cut.
It could have been a very
everyone being like,
open.
I see the future. You're checking into a flight back home. You know, like that kind of shit. But it was like just Jade's moment. I didn't understand why it was only her moment. That's more of my question.
Yeah,
I think maybe it was to let us see more of her personality, because throughout the whole show she. Well, most of them have just been, like, sitting back, and slowly it's time for them to start, like, stepping forward. Anyway, Betty talks about not being able to learn words to songs. And then they're all sitting in there with their little iPods listening to the music, and Betty is, like, trying to write her music down on her hand.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they had to learn the words from the song? You don't think they provided them the lyrics?
Oh, probably not.
I'm sure they got a sheet with the lyrics. Oh.
On our season, we didn't get the lyrics for our
songs. No, I had to
songs.
Go try to find the lyrics to my song online, and like they didn't exist.
Yeah. Oh, they make it challenging.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't. Yeah. I had to do the exact same thing with our song. I had to like listen to it a million times and hand write the lyrics because I also couldn't find them.
Okay, work. Mm-hmm. That's a real challenge.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Petty Betty. And so the next day, Betty also takes over someone's station, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're all like, what are you doing over here, girl?
And she's like, I'm not trying to sit next to Jade anymore.
Fair.
Do you think, are those stations assigned?
Oh, I mean,
because they're cleared
television,
out.
Anything is possible.
Right. Because they're cleared out every day in the boudoir.
Yeah.
So when they come in, it's a clean slate. So theoretically, yeah, you can move around.
Yeah.
I think maybe it might be that thing like in junior high with a lunch table. Like they're not assigned, but everyone kind of knows where to sit.
Yes.
And then production kind of got used to them being there. So maybe when she moved, it kind of threw everyone off being like, now what are you doing here? And then
where did you meet in middle school?
Cool kids table. Then Petty Betty and Zava.
Bitch, I didn't even have a table.
Literally
I ate
alone.
In the grass.
Oh, like, of course. You're out there
in
like
the theater class.
You're like looking at the ants, like slowly murdering them one at a time.
Yeah, over my like checkered picnic blanket during my school lunch.
Girl, I used to get a lunch. I used to get a lunch, like packed a lunch. And I was so jealous of people who got to eat hot lunch, you know, go through the line, I would then, like, I would always have, like, a dollar. But I'd walk around and be like, because I had friends who, like, their parents gave them, like, here's $5. And their lunch would always cost them, like, $4.25. And I'd go around and be like, do you have a quarter? Do you have a quarter? Do you have 75%? And I'd get enough money to buy a second lunch from the hotline because all I wanted was that second lunch.
Work, bitch.
I mean, I felt
that's
like
how you
I was
do it.
Yes, but also I walked
that's
around
dark.
Begging for money,
yeah.
in order to get
but you
extra
didn't know
food.
At the time.
I didn't
you
know,
didn't
at, the
know
time.
At the time.
I was shameless about it, but it's definitely embarrassing to think about. When I told I think my parents found out, my mom was like, "People think we're not feeding you because you're walking around asking people for money to get an extra bag of chips." Anyhow, too much? Call BetterHelp. All right. So let's talk about this Betty and Zava moment, right? You want to talk about that, Meepo?
Yeah, Zava goes, hold on, let me put my eyebrows on. A mistake. So then they go into the cauldron. So in the cauldron, we have Petty Betty Zava and her eyebrows. And I don't really know what they're talking about. Jade knows that they're talking about her. And she says she's a sweet person, but it's only because she's been through so much shit. And her upbeat personality is because it's a defense mechanism. So they're over there talking shit about Jade.
Yeah, it just seemed like they were stirring more, and Zava, I think, gives the best piece of advice for this whole conflict, which is let it go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Girl. That's all it is. Just let it go, because it's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
But haven't you ever been in a situation where, and you've seen me in this situation, where like one little thing is annoying the fuck out of you,
yes.
and there's nothing you can really do, but you just start dwelling on it instead yes. of just being like, okay, all I'm going to do is, like, focus on me or whatever. It's like you're trying so hard, but it's in the back of your head. Like, if I could just get to the bottom of this issue, my life would be better.
It's true, but oftentimes those are those conflicts where it's like, well, you said this. Well, I was just saying this in response to that person. And it's like, it's not like you stole my wig and never returned it, and that is the yeah. point of conflict.
Yes,
it's like
exactly.
some weird nuanced thing of you were being two-faced, you were talking behind my back. Well, how do you know that you were? Well, everyone said it. And it's like, well, there's nothing, there's yeah. not like, remember on that other show, you know, the like Coco and Alyssa drama that they stretched out over 7 episodes. They could do it because there was an actual thing that happened. I feel like with this Jade and Betty drama, there was no actual thing that happened.
No,
right?
There was nothing going on except unless something else happened at the house where Jade called her an alcoholic or came for right. her drinking or something. Also, my favorite part was Betty being like, maybe I am an alcoholic.
Girl,
like,
Betty that was kind of fierce. So much talking yeah. head this episode.
That was kind of yeah. fierce.
Alert, yeah, alert, me, alert, alert, alert.
Oh, wait, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, I did. Just go ahead. Do whatever. What was
alert,
going on?
Alert, alert, the floor show like, is about to begin.
Do your little bit.
Do whatever you do on this little show of yours, do it.
And the Boulets start, and they're in a beautiful like pleather red piped gown with mm-hmm. Nautical inspired headpieces.
Yeah. They look like old school diving helmets, right?
Diving helmets, yeah. They look mm-hmm. incredible.
Let's talk about the look.
Let's talk about those little bird talons that they've been wearing for nails.
What are those? They attach to the
They're
finger?
They're little rings that go on the tip of your finger. I used to mm-hmm. have a pair, but they were like nails. They were like cat claws, and they were rhinestone. These little bird talons, like, I think they're very cool, but it looks like they're constantly, like, doing this. Like, it looks like they're constantly curving
they're, like,
their
curved.
Fingers in. Because it's curved in, so it looks like mm-hmm. they, like, arthritic.
I love... Okay, when I first saw the headpieces... I thought to myself, fuck, I wish those were attached to their heads because their head moving around inside of the headpiece.
I liked that.
Well,
I liked it because it felt like a helmet.
Yeah, it felt like it was really a helmet.
I was just grateful that later they were like, I regret wearing this helmet. That they yes. included that in. Because when yes. I saw them, I was like, oh, that look is so fierce, like for a photo or something. But the practicality of that look to like host a show and move your head around and look at things and talk, like that, it wasn't really
None.
Practical.
No, practicality.
Exactly. And so I was really appreciative that later they were like, well, girl, I'm regretting wearing this helmet. I was like, okay, bitch, I see you.
I half expected them to put like one of their little turbans on and like take that off for the judging or at least for the sibling chat.
I did kind of live for that moment where they were like, all right, let's just give ourselves a second to like feel bad for ourselves. And then like totally. 2 seconds of sad like violin music played and they were like, okay, we're good.
This is like literally, oh yeah, that was so funny. But this is the first season I feel like where I'm where you can see their personalities when they're just in a room talking to each other on camera. Like they seem so natural in
so
that little sibling chat.
Yeah.
And so comfortable that I'm like, please do that. But for the rest of the show, do that for every part of it because it's like I can connect to them better than I can when they're doing their like memorized rehearsed speeches.
Yeah, they're doing a lot more banter this season, which I also appreciate because the banter does feel very real. It feels very natural.
Yeah.
Well, let's banter our way into a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about those guest judges and the floor show.
Okay. Ooh, baby.
And we're back.
We're back. And the Boulets introduced their guest judges. It's Phil Noble Jr. Phil Noble from Fangoria. And Christian Nairn from Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Hodor, who I didn't realize was like a DJ and like was in the scene. I had no
DJ's
idea.
DJs like Queer Nights and stuff. Yeah.
Well, and she made sure to tell everybody, she was like, I'm not just on that TV show. I used to be a drag queen.
I used to get up in the drags.
She said, I know the business, bitch.
She said, I'm Ireland's first drag monster.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And they were all like, oh, okay, because you were talking pretty harsh shit here for the first four contestants.
Was she? I thought she was telling it like it was.
She was, but you know, it's that thing of like we talked about with Vanessa Hudgens and her friend, when they're telling it like it is, it's like, okay, well, thank you, but what, you know, what experience do you have doing this?
Thank you, High School Musical.
Right. But so tell us about the floor show. What did you think?
What was going on here? Remember that the key word is glamour, and the song that they are performing to is a Boulay song called Wicked Love. I must tell you, I don't remember the song. I remember them lip syncing, but I can't, if you were to ask me any of the lyrics or anything, I can't tell you. I wasn't really paying attention to it. It just seemed like another background song.
It's a challenging thing to have all the contestants do the full song and then look at them. We've talked about this before. Like some of the floor show, it's hard to figure out how to judge it with the audience at home. Because clearly the judges go, I just watched six performances. I can very clearly judge this and make a decision. But from the audience, it's like, do we want to watch a six-way split screen? Do we want, like, do we like how it's cut in between? Like, do we want to see 30 solid seconds of each person? It's a challenging thing to figure out how to best communicate what they do, right?
And this is the third lip sync in a row.
Well, what do you want them to do?
They had the Vampire Beach Party. They had the Boxes of Rock. And then they had this.
Yeah, but those are all different. It's a group challenge. They had instruments. And then they had gags.
They had another group challenge with instruments. And then this time they have to do their own thing.
You're just trying to find shit to be angry about.
I'm not trying to find anything to be angry about. I'm just saying, like, maybe take them to a beach. Maybe do something else besides a lip sync.
The floor show is a performance. What do you want from them?
So Sigourney comes out.
You're just being messy today. I know you're being messy.
I'm not being
today.
Messy at all.
I think they're
just stating obvious facts.
Vander's like Dali when Jade and Betty are fighting, just watching us as we
just
are
watching.
Just watching, be like,
I'm
why
actually
did
not
so
here. There's like a cardboard cutout of me I put in front of the camera.
Vander like just the rest of this interview.
You said I
okay,
can't.
Okay, so Sigourney comes out in full glamour.
Yeah.
And it is. Like everyone said, for me, before she even came out, when they said the prompt, I turned to my boyfriend, Michael, and I said, she's going to wear her normal, my life partner. I was like, she's going to wear her normal, like, silhouette and a cape. Like, I just called it, and then she came out and did. And she looked absolutely stunning, but like everyone said, we've seen this on her.
I have issues with this runway because when I saw what the episode was called, you know, Ghost Ship, I got so excited for this. I think it's the assignment I've been most excited about in terms of, like, the look challenges. Because, just the name Ghost Ship, it conjures up so many really fucking cool images in my head. I did not think a single one of those looks was perfect. There was not one look that was perfect from head to toe. There were some that were very good. In fact, there were some that were amazing, but did they fulfill the prompt of Ghost Ship? Not for me.
Word.
I didn't see it.
I kind of felt like I liked Betty's. I thought Betty's was a great, she looked like Alaska. Did you notice? Did you see that?
I did kind of, she looked there, like earlier Alaska.
Yeah, she looked like a young Alaska.
I feel like there were kind of like three different groups of presentation. Like Sigourney, mm-hmm. Betty, and Jade were in the like big hair, sort of like traditional glamour, but with like a barnacle or like a Frozen sort of like twist, right? And then mm-hmm. Saint and Dali really were like more, I don't know,
ship-based.
Conceptual in their yeah. in their mm-hmm. their vibe. And then Hoso was sort of in her own category. And then I guess you could also put Zava in the like Betty and Jade, like, you know, a glamorous person who then drowned. That's sort of like what those mm-hmm. people felt like yeah. to me.
Yeah, I guess Zava belonged up with them because she yeah, she looked she was very pretty this week.
But there wasn't, like, was we were, before we started recording, we talked about the photo that Astrid posted of, like, the octopus-inspired, like, mm-hmm. it, I feel like Ghost Ship, I think about, I mean, this is a Disney reference, literally, but I think about Pirates of the Caribbean, right? That, like, squid pirate mm. who runs the Ghost Ship. Like, you want it to be, like, glamorous ship, falls to the ocean and then gets morphed into like a monster, like some sort of monster that maintains its glamour, right? Like, what would you have done, yeah. Vander?
I think I would have gone for more of like a 1920s woman, but I think the part that for me was difficult about some of these looks was that I think there's like two ways of doing, well, there's a few different ways of doing glamour, but I think glamour has to feel sort of effortless, and you can wear a lot and look glamorous, but you kind of have to wear it effortlessly. Mm-hmm. And I felt like a lot of the looks were just so heavy with so much crap, and it just, it didn't look effortless. It looked like a lot of effort was being put right. into it. And for me, that just mm-hmm. like killed the element of glamour. And I think I would have gone for something more simple, but like really streamlined, really beautiful, really haunting. I thought maybe like something like a cowl neck, like silk gown with a really low cut, like deep cut back.
Uh-huh.
And just a ton of like wet jewels running down the back. And I was surprised that Saint did the like wet hair look,
right?
But no one actually incorporated water into their look. I would have gone on that stage soaking fucking wet.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Imagine taking like elements of glamour, like a boa or like a foxtail, but it's an octopus or a tentacle. And I'm like,
yeah, because you're down there, you might as well grab a couple octopus, make a boa.
Right. Or instead of like a hair clip, it's a starfish, which is very stereotypical. But like, mm-hmm. if you sort of replaced everything with like a deep sea diving version of it and just have been glamour, like that also could have worked. I think some of the concepts.
They kind of did that.
But you
barnacles
know
on their face.
You mm-hmm. know what for me was difficult about some of those looks is that like I wasn't getting the ship part. It was giving me more like mermaid or sea siren or something like that. Or like, for example, Hoso's. I know there was a lot of debate about whether or not that was glamorous.
Sure.
I thought Hoso's, if those patches of polka dot fabric had been removed from that look, I actually thought it was very glamorous. It was kind of giving like John Galliano for Dior. It was kind of that sort of mm-hmm. approach to glamour.
Uh-huh.
But when I looked at her look, I was like, okay, I get the sea and the monster and all this stuff, but what about it is ship? Like, what ties this character to a man-made vessel that's been lost
right.
out at sea?
Yeah. Right? Ship. You are right. And sometimes and people go Dali's too far great. Away, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
take the three, or I guess it's two words. Ghost ship is one word. But glamorous, ghost ship. Like, do those words. Don't go so far away. I mean, I'm upset that they did not bring Mary Cherry's anglerfish back, but that's another story.
Wait.
Oh, actually, that
was
really
that
cool.
costume supposed to be for ghost ship?
Call Mary. What was your ghost ship glamour?
What was your ghost? I want to see the ghost ship glamour. Because that would fit the prompt because it had like the beading and it was very 20s themed. I liked uh-huh. Dali's because she took a very different approach where she was the boat. And the belt
I
lit up.
I loved Dali's, but I loved it a lot more in black and white. The thing that really threw me off with that look was why was the whole look was like rust and sepia tones and it was very that color palette. But then the makeup was like bright pinks and purples. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand where the bright pinks and the purples met with the rust and the sepia.
Valid point.
I agree. Also, again, they say that the Saint's energy is so low, and they show it, and it was.
Yeah.
And do you think that that's just, like, that is just Saint? Like, she's just, like, a slower moving, more sensual performer, and they're just not picking up on that? Or,
well, I think it's a lot of different factors. I think sometimes Saint struggles with the movement, but I think also a big part of it is that, like, when we do these shows, oftentimes, like, our time on the runway is our very first time walking in these outfits that are probably very uncomfortable and very difficult to move in. So I think there's, like, a mixture of, like, the first time you're wearing the outfit, maybe being someone who already struggles with movement. On top of it, you, like, all eyes on you, there's cameras, judges, like, there's all this pressure to perform. So I think all of that goes into play where Saint kind of struggles on the runway.
So, okay. So we talked about the sibling chat already, but things that we loved, they're not taking themselves so seriously. They talk about the helmets. They talk about giving them a moment to feel bad for themselves. But what they really focus on is Betty and Jade before they bring the other judges back.
Mm-hmm.
So they say Betty's plateauing, and they say Jade has to shake some of her, like, pageantry roots off in order to really shine in the Dragula competition. But I mean, talk about keeping it real. The Boulets are like, girl, not everyone can win Dragula, so these two might need to go soon.
Yeah, they really just said it. They really did, right?
I mean,
they're not wrong.
And that's the thing when you're casting a show, right? Like, you can't cast a full cast of people who all could be the winner. In an ideal competition, that is how it is. And then you have to, like, knock the, you know, the people off. But in a reality TV show, you cannot, like, when they cast the show, they probably thought five people on our cast could really take the crown.
Yeah, and I think in casting, you hope that other people will prove you wrong, and sometimes they do. Sometimes the person you don't expect to win is the one that comes out on top.
Right.
But yeah, my thing is, like, working on the show, when it was a cast that had too many front runners, it got really fucking hard to eliminate people.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
So, okay.
So what you're saying is...
I hear... No, we
the next couple weeks, people will be eliminated, and then we'll get into the front runners.
And then we're going to get there. All right.
Yeah, that's what she said. She said, I said what I said. Okay, well, let's take our last break, and then we'll get into the tops, the bottoms, the winners, the extermination, all of it!
Yes.
And were
we just singing Wicked Love by the Boulet Brothers? Sorry, what'd you say?
What did you say?
I said, were we just singing Wicked Love by the Boulet Brothers?
No, and I said, I'm wearing a biscuit heel.
Oh. And Vander's put the cardboard cut up in front of the Zoom call.
Yeah.
Vander's like, and I'm done. Okay,
I just switch out his heads with different expressions.
All right, so here comes the magical key moment.
Yes.
They asked Jade to step forward. She want to save herself or put someone up for extermination? Jade gives a little speech and says, it's going to be Betty. We're putting Betty on the chopping block. And then the Boulets say, now that the key has shifted the rankings, you're safe and may leave the stage.
So
does that mean she was in the bottom?
That means Jade was in the bottom.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what happened to Dahlia. When she used the key to make herself safe, it shifted the rankings and put Madeline in the bottom.
But wouldn't it have been even cuntier if they were like, okay, well, good thing you put Betty in the bottom. You were also in the bottom. That would have been crazy.
Because
But I guess she did do a little bit better than Hoso, in their opinion.
That's why I asked, because is it either or? Because in my mind, I'm like, is Like, she did both by doing this, right? She actually ended up saving herself by putting Betty in the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing about the key is you don't know the ranking when you use it.
Woo!
So you got to play your cards right. And that's part of what I think. That's why it's like kind of important for them to be able to see other people's looks and how they perform, because you can get a gauge for what you think the ranking is and what the best outcome for you will be.
Right.
It was clear that she did not think she was in the bottom. Now, Hoso.
Talk about Hoso here, Meatball.
They didn't think it was glamorous at all. And her performance was great. And it was full of a story. But she tells the judges, she just tells them straight to their face, I feel glamorous. And she doesn't know. Yeah. I mean, at least she stood up and defended her look. She wasn't like, you're right, I'm wearing a piece of shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I kind of love that she was like, I've never felt more glamorous. I was like, yeah, bitch, like, she looked good. She wasn't giving me ghost shit, but she looked fucking great.
What?
She wasn't giving me ghost shit.
What was she giving? She was giving, like, oil spill, plastic bottles. Like, I didn't quite understand.
Yeah, I was kind of getting, like, glamour, sea monster. I thought it was great as a sea monster for, like, our season's sea monster challenge, more so than glamorous ghost ship. Yeah. That happened to me with a lot of the looks. I was like, they look cool. They just don't look like what they're supposed to be. Like, Jade's to me was giving more like mermaid or like mer woman or sea woman of some type. And then Atlantis. Saints was giving me like underwater, like ringmaster, because it was a top hat instead of a captain's
hat. The top
hat.
And I was like, if you're the captain of the boat, you don't wear a top hat. They didn't even say that. They just told Saint that they love her fashion shapes and styling. And that she just needs more energy. She did look incredible, but... you're right, it did not fit the assignment, and they literally, Hodor was like, I should say his real name, what was his, it's in here, so anyway, Hodor was like, I hate the shoes.
Christian Nairn
was like, I hate the shoes. Straight up to her face. So then they get to Sigourney, and they say that she was the best lip sync performance of the night, and I will agree of what we saw. Yeah. She was doing the best job. But Zaba and Hoso don't really feature her, and all she brought to the whole competition so far has been just the same glamour, is what they say. Thoughts? None. Do you have anything you would like to say about Sigourney?
Me?
Or different or anybody else. I'm the only one talking.
In terms of, no, I agree. I thought her lip sync was the best. In terms of the look, I did think it was a little bit predictable for her, but she looked stunning. Honestly, that was not really my issue for her, was that it was predictable. For me, it was more the color palette. I think, and maybe this is just a personal preference, but when I think ghost ship, I think washed off and like very muted and very like, very like loss of contrast. And for some reason, a lot of the contestants went for like really bright, vibrant blues, like Heart of the Ocean blue, you know?
Yeah.
And that for me really disconnected it, because it felt, I don't know, I feel like there's a way to do it, because I've seen Landon do ghosts with bright blues and stuff like that, and they just work, because he has like a theatrical sensibility, whereas, I don't know, maybe with Sigourney, for example, it was more of a burlesque style costume in those colors, like bright blues.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't getting ghosts from it until when they do that flashback of her on the runway and they show her in black and white and those blues were gone. I was like, oh my God, she looks just like a fucking ghost. If the colors had just been different, she would have looked so good as like a glamorous ghost on a ship, you know?
Yeah. I wonder why they all went blue. Like, just because you're in the water doesn't mean that you yourself are blue. Like, you can be grays, whites, blacks, any of it. So then Dolly...
I found what Hoso wrote about her character. Do you want to hear it, Meatball?
Please read.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd love to.
So she posted this on her Instagram. I told a story that is in the heart of what my drag is. Eastern creatures that were shunned by the human world. A yokai. Created this character of a water and god yokai that was in suffering from humans. So my performance included a naked body covered in nasty human waste. Covered by a net gasping for air. I wanted her to have a ghastly glamour that I thought fit the challenge perfectly. And I performed my heart out of it. So you know, the interesting thing about it is, like, it has a great story. It's talking about the ocean. But all of these points that you brought up, Vander, there's no ship. It does talk about man-made things like mm-hmm. human waste, but there's no ship and it's not ghost. It's creature, right? So yeah. It's like, it's a total slay if this was like an environmental challenge. Yes. If it was like
or the a sea whole, monster challenge.
Right, or a sea monster. Challenge, yeah, exactly. So I think that's really interesting.
Maybe if she had a small boat hanging out of her neck.
Like oh my god, like the neck. A little, she's a little the iceberg. Earring. Where's Bo and Yang?
Yeah,
being the iceberg. Okay, so the one point I just wanted to bring up about Dolly is that they edited Dolly's feedback to 100% be like, that's the winner.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They gooped us as an audience because they were like, we love you. You look amazing. The thing lit up. Amazing, amazing. And we were all like, there's no way Sigourney's going to win after those critiques. And then Sigourney mm-hmm. wins.
The judges were obsessed with her.
And you know who wasn't? Zavaleta.
Zavaleta was not having.
She literally said, not Sigourney. On the runway, under her breath.
Oh my god, wait, really? I didn't catch that.
Did you see that, Meatball?
Yes, she did.
She was like, oh, so
she's mic'd. I mean, I'm sure they're all mic'd, but they kept cutting to her because she was talking, like, full volume.
And Hoso's eyes were doing backflips in her head, and she was eye-rolling with every fucking positive thing said about Sigourney.
One thing I will say is that sometimes the looks read very differently from the judges' booth than they read on camera because just from working on prior seasons, some of the stuff reads way different on camera than it does when we're physically there. So, you know, I don't know, maybe that had something to do with it.
Yeah. I felt like every aspect of this whole episode was polarizing. There was a conflict around everything. It was great TV.
So then they announce who's safe, and it's Jade and Saint. Our winner is Sigourney, and Hoso, Zava, and Betty are all going to be doing the extermination challenge.
And Saint is mad she's safe, girl. Everyone Saint is mad about something.
Plucked. But even Hoso says it because Saint's over there in the room, in the cauldron, complaining about being safe. And Hoso's like, not a good look. Not a cute look when there's people in the bottom, and you're like, I'm giving 250%. Remember when she said that about what she brought? She said it to Sigourney.
Oh, yeah.
She was I'm like, doing it's crazy 200%. That you won and I'm doing 250%.
And other people
here.
Are just, and then she was like, I mean, no shade to you, but who, other people.
Who?
It's like, you don't know how hard people are working.
Not at all. So the extermination challenge is that they will be submerged in the ocean and photographed underwater. Didn't see that. If they give good face, they will survive. And if they don't, they will drown.
Which to me sounds like a really cool extermination because some of the exterminations, there's, I don't know. There's like for example, like the bull riding one. Like, it's cool, but it's kind of like, I don't know. I feel like that's tricky for some people depending on like, your physicality and your ability, you know, like it's a difficult gauge for like what you're capable as a drag artist.
Right. But 50 yard dash shoot. Plus the hurdles. Go
yeah,
run.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
In the biscuit
like,
heels.
It, yeah. Uh-huh. Like, is it fun to watch? Absolutely. Does it tie into what you're capable of as an artist? Not exactly.
No. Right.
So I really like this one because it really is about like, can you perform in a highly strenuous situation and can you look good?
But
doing
girl,
it?
What? When they explained it, I thought they were going to be underwater.
I thought that this was going to be like they got a big tank and the girls get into the water. And
they said, you're going to the ocean. We have a special camera that can see if you can give face underwater. And then they go to the ocean and they do a beachfront photo shoot. Looks like a Monet Exchange video.
I mean, they all look like they're doing good. They each have a moment where I thought Zava was going to go home because she was the one that they kept showing, like, getting knocked down by the water and, like,
by
dragged
waves.
And by the undertow. Yeah, like, she literally at one point was, like, rolling around on the ground. And I was like, oh, she's going home. She's going home. And then, of course, the next scene, it's Betty waking up on the beach being like, oh, no, not me. Not me and this seashell.
No, not this.
Oh, no, not me and this seashell. But let's talk about the cauldron, because that was the craziest cauldron we've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
I felt bad for the camera crew, because those girls did not want to sit on those sofas. They were on either side of the room. It was literally like the end of a Jerry Springer. Like, they had to just keep swinging the cameras around to get the girls.
Yeah, you're seeing, like, all the crew and shit backstage. Yeah. God, girl, I don't even know what the fuck to say about this cauldron. There's so much, and it's all so convoluted, and a lot of it is so petty and childish, and just, like, you break it down, because
we broke it down into who is fighting with who, again, we don't know what's going on. So Betty and Jade are still just popping off at each other. This time, it makes sense. Jade literally put Betty in the bottom, and she wasn't going to be in the bottom. So I'm sure she's, like, very upset about that. That makes sense. Hoso is totally over it, and she doesn't want to talk about the Mary shit anymore.
The moment they bring up Mary, Hoso gets up and goes, I'm not doing this again, and walks off.
Yeah.
I lives. Because I'd be that bitch. I'd be like, I don't give a fuck anymore. I'm leaving.
And then the moment she walks away, she's like, I'm upset because obviously she's up for extermination. She's like, I think this is glamour. They didn't get it. And then what, you know, we mentioned earlier, she starts to say, I'm going to try to bite my tongue because I can get really, really mean and I don't want to do that.
And I wanted to see it. I wanted to see her be mean.
When people say that, because I said that before, I think there's like this inherent thing of like, I was raised to have decorum. I want to seem like the like very even tempered person. I want to feel like a team player. But inside, I think I'm better than everyone else. All of you are dog shit. And I just don't need to say it.
Bitch.
And I was like, I want to see her pop. Oh.
Bitch, yes. Every drag queen on the planet thinks
don't,
that way.
Even, don't get me talking because I'll get mean.
Me. I wouldn't do that. That's like a crazy behavior. I've never done anything like that.
You don't have to hide it. You're open about it. You're just honest.
I will say, this is a side joke, but I saw Vander in Palm Springs and I looked a hot shit toad mess. I was awful looking. And then I saw Vander, two days ago? And you were like, oh, you look way better than you did in Palm Springs. Good luck, girl. I was like, drag me!
I mean, the lines were clean.
All right, okay. So then Betty starts talking about how she feels that she's been growing through the competition.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she used to be serving what Sigourney was serving, but now she's changing and growing to fit the different things.
And then Sigourney's like, well, I don't need to change who I am to be in this competition. I belong here doing what I do.
And Sigourney shows a little dark side for a moment, and then she quickly collects herself. She said, I forgot what she responded. She's like, I'm not changing who I am for this competition. Good luck, you keep changing, but you're in the bottom, or something like that. And I was like, Sigourney, she hasn't spoken to anybody like that at all.
No, she's been like coyly cunty, but now I think she's had it. Because it feels like everyone is against Sigourney.
Yes.
Yeah.
They all feel threatened by her talent.
And her beauty. I feel like regardless of whether, you know, allegedly they say she's playing this game, you know, regardless of whether she's playing it or not, she's not the one that ends up looking dumb when y'all are all fighting and, you know.
Exactly.
Correct.
Well, you know, she's just quaintly dumb. Sitting.
Exactly. Speaking of looking dumb, what happens with Zaba and Jade?
Girl.
Me. Middle fingers. I can do it too. Like,
oh, we're the same. Good night.
We're the same. She just comes to her outfit. She's like, you could wear that on a dance stage. This is glamour. That fabric is $2 a yard. I was like, now we're getting down to the basics of how much we spent on the costumes.
It's literally the fight she had with Alyssa Edwards on Drag Race.
Yes,
babe. I was just waiting for someone to say back rolls.
It was the fight. They were like, this is bad drag. This is not expect. Like, that's what was the fight a decade ago.
I have to commend Jade on being so even keeled. Even in that argument, she never once like started screaming. She didn't like raise her voice really. She was just kind of like, okay, girl, we get it. Okay, we get it. You're mad. We get it. We can do it too. Like, she was clapping back, but she wasn't like freaking out. And Zava was standing up, stirring a drink. Like, she was getting so physical. It's, like, physically exhausting to watch.
Oh, girl. It was giving, like fight at Bob Baker's marionette show. Like, just two little puppets just, like, going at it. Like, yeah.
Well, and then Dolly's sitting there giving me Land Insider teas with just looking around the room being like, what is happening?
Dolly, oh, yeah, like, bitch. I'm here to do art and win $100,000. What are y'all here to do?
She was very, like, not alone in VIP. It was giving.
And then it ends with Hoso spiraling and Sigourney finally feels like, how come every time people get mad, they aim it at me? I literally didn't do anything.
Right.
Okay, can we talk for a second about Hoso saying something about, like, someone's fabric being cheap or something and then being like, no, I'm being mean. I'm going to stop.
Yeah, it's Sigourney. Yeah. She was like, Sigourney, you're wearing the same thing. And to be honest, I'm going to be honest. That cape, it's unhemmed. And it's, oh, no, I got to stop myself. I'm getting mean.
It was kind of fierce.
I just love that we're going for the hems now. Like, that's where they're at. They have nothing to do but fight about what they're wearing at this point. And it's like, if the bottom of her cape is unhemmed, it's like, go for it, I guess.
Yeah, but meanwhile, that same argument is like, you know, you're not being filthy enough. You're being like, they're like, oh, all you do is give glamour, glamour, glamour. And then the argument is also, oh, but your thing isn't hemmed. It's like, well, my cape not being hemmed is my filth. So get into that.
Yeah, I want it to look frayed. We've been under the water.
Look at Vander. Right, like, Vander doesn't agree.
Oh my god,
that's not filth.
Vander's like, that's not filth, honey. Wait until you eat your own vomit. That's filth. Okay, so the extermination. Oh god,
I can still taste that.
Ew! How gross was that? What did you have to eat gross. That day? To...
It was right before I hit the stage. I ate a foot long buffalo chicken Subway sandwich and a lot of fireball.
Why the buffalo? Why would you want something so sour?
So it would upset my stomach, and it worked. Oh, I can still taste it, but it worked.
Okay, so the extermination challenge, it was supposed to be an underwater photo shoot. They said it would be freezing cold water, and the waves would be crashing. And the waves were crashing. Also, was it edited to look like it was nighttime? Or were they shooting?
No, I think it really was.
At night?
I think it really was that late.
And also, I mean, then the tides are worse at night.
Well, it was at the beach, each.
It was at the beach, each. Let's go get a wave. And they caught some waves.
Bitch,
it was crazy.
I mean, girl, do you remember our season? Like, I don't think we remember it as crazy as it was. But when I really, really think back on it, it was pretty rough. Like, I got knocked down by a few waves that day.
I got knocked a few. And... I remember ours being actually very cold. Like, there was a point where I was sitting there and we were shivering because it was in between takes. It was so cold. But these girls, they finally got submerged towards the end, but I don't know where they were. That seemed like a very dangerous spot. There was a lot of rocks.
They were standing
on the rocks and being near. And those rocks, if you get taken out by an undertow and you hit your head, you're down.
I loved the shot of Zavaleta in heels trying to walk over the
Oh, bitch. Such a mood. Such a mood.
Our season, we had to get dressed on the beach in the sand. Yeah. Like, we showed up there and then put our costumes on in the sand. And then Vander was walking around in heels on the sand. And she's like, it's truly not that hard if you just stay on your toes. And I was like, bitch, look at me. Staying on my toes in a bordello on wet sand. I was sinking through. It was such a mess.
Not even a thick bordello heel could stay above the sand, girl. Not even a Clarabelle bordello.
God, not Clarabelle! Okay. Oh, and then Bitter Betty, aka...
Yeah.
No, why don't you go?
I was just gonna say, and then the siren song takes our Petty Betty off to the races. Off to the ocean to die in the arms of the Boulets.
What did you think about that?
In terms of the decision to send Betty home?
Yeah.
Fuck, it's hard because I feel like the competition is getting to a place where there are a lot of, or at least a lot of people that I really like, even though this episode for me was not it. Fuck, like, it makes sense to me. Like, the decision makes sense, but I do wish we had seen more of Betty. is how I feel about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it makes sense, but I was actually really enjoying watching her on the show.
Now, who do you think would have gone home had the key not happened?
Ooh.
Ooh. You because know, then Betty
wouldn't
I
have even
think,
been in the bottom.
I think Jade would have been in a lot of trouble because that look was amazing, but it just was not really quite as there as some of the others were. I would say it was in the bottom looks, not because it wasn't a good look. I just didn't think it fulfilled the prompt very well. And that's just me. And a lot of it is personal taste, but
yeah.
You know, in like from the lens of horror, the look was very pretty.
Well, as Zava said, it was Taylor Swift.
Oh my God, when Zava I want to see a transcript. I want to see a transcript of the Cauldron fights, plural. Also,
I would like
them.
To watch if there's an if they do a special episode or something, if they have an extra episode to fill, just the highlights of every fight or like more scenes of that. I wanted more of that argument because I still
That'd
don't
be
understand
a long
what
mashup.
Happened.
It'd be a long mashup. That'd
she
be its own episode.
Fights. She loves the fights. Well, listen, Vander, thank you so much for getting spooky with us.
Ooh, you're spooky. Ooh.
How do you feel about being the first ever winner of the TV show and then now look at the TV show growing?
You know, for me, a part of it is just like, God, I'm so glad we went through it when it wasn't the monstrous beast that it is today.
Yeah.
I'm gonna echo something Raja has said, which is like, I think Raja has mentioned, like, I don't know if I could win a season of Drag Race now because of what the show has become. And similarly, I'm like, I think I could do well, but I don't know if I could necessarily, like, murder a season of Dragula now the way I did season one. So
I
it's really
cool.
Oh, I girl, some
could.
It's so much. And
could.
Some of these...
I would marry-carry myself about.
But the other thing is also, like, you got to put up with these fucking contestants. And I'm like, putting up with all y'all bitches was actually really fun because y'all weren't that difficult. But some of these bitches on these new seasons are so difficult. And I can say that from being on set. They are so
difficult. Oh, yeah, you were
difficult.
On set. Yeah.
You worked on 2 and 3?
I worked on 2 and 3.
As, and like, just, art director, right? In that.
Yeah, I did the production design for the show, and I was just like, God, would I fucking hate to be in a house with these bitches.
Would you do an all-star season if they ever did one of Dragula?
No, bitch, I won.
Yeah, she doesn't need to go back.
Yeah.
Never.
Well, we'll see. You know, we say never sometimes, and then if the phone call happens.
If that Shudder money comes through, Diva.
Oh, that's a different story.
If there's a per diem, you might get a little meaty over there. I might stick around for a couple episodes, get a new motorcycle.
Well, listen, actually,
that's rich.
That's rich. I have no idea if they're listening or paying attention or anything over there at the Boulay camp.
I can tell you they're not.
But I'll tell you this, you know, Resurrection was really cool, and I feel like something that I'm glitching out here. The lineup of artists who have competed on all of the seasons for Dragula, something that you can really celebrate is that all of those artists like create really interesting, cool work. And I feel like, you know, unlike other drag competition shows, Dragula could do a special one-off and really celebrate all the artistry similar to what they did with Resurrection. And that could be like a shorter version of an All-Stars where people could really shine and it would be less like bickering like reality TV and more celebrating the art, which I feel like some of you OG contestants would really do. And then like Meatball could, you know, be comic relief or whatever.
Honestly, just to echo that a little bit, there have been some new reality shows that have come out. Like, there's like a baking one I saw. The name is slipping me, but basically, it's like reality TV shows that showcase like a skill in a certain craft, like baking, without the competitive aspect. And it's actually really refreshing to just see people's work when they thrive, versus when they're put inside like a human pressure cooker with other people that they absolutely hate. So it would actually, I would love to see more televised drag, kind of like We're Here, where there's not as much of a competitive aspect as there is like a challenge, and that's it.
You could do a We're Here spinoff called We're Dead.
We're Dead. we're Hearse. I don't know.
We're Hearse.
We're Hearse.
And all you do is rehearse your numbers.
It's just kidding. A bunch of that.
All right. All right. Let's end the show.
Well, thank you so much, Vanda, for being here. Why don't you tell everyone where they can find you, follow you, if you have anything coming up? This comes out on Friday.
Well, thank you so much for having me. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. under at VanderVonOdd.
Yeah. Okay, we did it.
Goodbye.
Thank you for having me.
Wait, do the proper outro, Meeple.
Thank you all so much for listening to Spooky Seconds. Goodbye, Fuglies. It was awful to see our special guest, Vanda Von Odd.
We will see you on Tuesday.
With a guest, I think. All right. Goodbye.
Doodle-a-doot-doot forever. Dog.
To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.